Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're doing a snap reaction for the wide receiver position, but I do want to lead off. I'm recording this at 4:22 on Tuesday, and I need to sort of put this in your ear for you to think about. As you sort of are preparing lineups, waiver bids this week, it's a big deal. There is a COVID problem. I don't know what the NFL is going to do about it. I am guessing the answer is nothing. They're going to have to play this out. You know, my colleague at Football Guys last year had Adam Harstead. He had a saying that was basically, you know, your prior on everything as you sort of think about how the NFL is going to handle this is that they're counting to 256, right? They're getting to 256. Obviously, it's more now because they have, an additional week of games. Another week of games, right? You've got 272 this year in terms of games, if my math is right on that. You just have they need to get to that number, right? And so they're going to do that is sort of my thought. I don't think we're going to be bubbling up. Like we've chosen to sort of live with this, and at least, you know, I know we have subscribers, fortunately, on multiple continents and multiple countries. Here, we've chosen to sort of live with this as being our new normal. I don't know if this is, like, again, I thought we had an issue last week where my thing was like, well, it could be random. Like, it could be, like, the sign of a real bad problem. It could be a confluence of events, right? This could be unboosted people, right? It's about your 6 month mark. You know, someone brought up it's 6 months from minicamp, which made a lot of sense. I don't necessarily buy the 6 month is a static number, right? That there's like a switch or something that happens at 6 months where the immunity goes down. I think I think logic would tell us that it's a sliding scale. But 6 months is sort of the line of demarcation. It's kind of like the 6 feet thing in social distancing. But anyways, like all of that is to say, like, I don't think this is going to get any better. I think it's going to get worse. And we've got basically 3 weeks to go. I don't know. I doubt the NFL is going to bubble or any of that stuff for the playoffs. But there's no end in sight in terms of this being a problem for us right now. I would say, you know, there's people that are way smarter about this and track this stuff way better than I do. It's not what I do nor strive to do, is to try and figure out, you know, COVID returns and all that stuff. But I know Dr. Gene, I think Dr. Chow has done something too. It's really tough to get back within 10 days based on the protocol, independent of your vaccination status, and to basically clear the multiple tests within in excess of basically 24 hours and actually come back and play. I'm not going to say that the number is zero, but it's a very small number and a very small percentage that have done it. So that's all to say, right? If you lose, right, I would rather lose someone on a Monday than lose them on a Friday, because if you lose them on a Friday, you might not have good options, right? You might have sat people on Thursday, but at the same time, you might lose an additional week. Right, so if, like, for example, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be out week 15, there's a chance that he's eligible to play week 16, right? And he can come back and play, and that's probably, I'm not going to say it's a likelihood, but it's a stronger possibility than if he was out on Saturday, for example, right? Higbee's probably out for next week. Right? He tested, I think it was on Sunday or Monday, he tested positive, right? He's not going to be able to play in time, so most likely. So keep those things in mind. I think you have to, if you have a quarterback and you have a respectable backup, right, you have to do it if you're counting on that player. Outside of, you know, I have some spots where I've got two, you know, I'm a naked two starting quarterback super flex team, right? Like, and a couple of teams, like, I pressed chips in and I, like, went all in to get another elite quarterback. That's my version of going all in on these things. Or, you know, I did it for a star wide receiver, which isn't typically a trade that I do, but that left me flying without a net. Like, if Mahomes or Allen and or Allen Get like we're in trouble. We're in trouble there. Like that's a problem. You know, the Rogers toe thing is really. Like I did one of those where I went and I got. You know, I made a trade where I traded away a starting quarterback on a team I have Rogers, and I don't feel good right now. And so we're just sort of hanging in there. But I do think any chance you can get to sort of get your hands on one of those backup quarterbacks that you have. That would make a difference for you, do it. That's not to say, am I rostering Logan Woodside if I don't have Ryan Tannehill? Probably not. Like if I have three really good quarterbacks or four really good, if I have three really good quarterbacks, am I going to necessarily handcuff them all? Probably not. Like, again, that's a spot where you have to sort of use a sliding scale. Again, normal, normal decision making in tact there with those sorts of decisions. Like you have to balance those things. If I'm flying with just two, right, like I got to figure out a way to try and get Trubisky, or I got to figure out a way to try and get Chad Henne, or Chase Daniel if it's Herbert. Like you sort of get the idea on those. Like I think you do, and again, I did a show a couple of weeks back. Go ahead and go check it back out about sort of my level of comfort about those guys and the backup quarterbacks. So all those things in play. Additionally, in play, we're doing all running backs. Like get to your third running backs. Like get and listen. This is a situation where you can't get them later, right? And they can't take them away from you. What you can do is like you can cut them, right? If it doesn't work, you can cut them. Right. If Corey Clement gets COVID tomorrow, fine, I'll cut him. Right. But I want to be amped up as high as I can go on ownership of him or rostership of him. Right. Royce Freeman is another one. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with that, but it seems like a situation where push comes to shove. This could be a spot where come this weekend, I don't have a lot of good options. And Royce Freeman is an option for me. Right. Like I think you have to be aggressive in those. And listen, if it's winning over, like spend your money now, right? Because you don't know what waiting a week, who the hell knows what's going to be, right? So be really aggressive. I would say like my advice to you at this point is like, it's win or go home. And I remember there was a series where the Mets were like down and out. And I remember this must have been 20 years ago, but they were like, they were using starting pitchers out of the bullpen. They just couldn't, like, the bullpen was just devastated. And they were like, well, we'll figure out that when we cross that bridge. Like, we got to win. That's like a winning problem, right? And that's the same thing right now. Like, if you don't, like, if you've, like, you use everything you have now to advance. And you know what? Next week, we'll figure that out then. Again, and remember, if you have a COVID issue early this week, that does not necessarily preclude you from playing the person next week. So use all those things in mind. Again, if you have problems, like now is the time to spend all of your money, right? Because if you lose, you can't take it with you. And again, I would be very aggressive in terms of getting... cycling through all the backup running backs. And listen, you're playing in less leagues now. Hopefully we're still playing in 75, 80, 85% of our leagues at this point, which would be really nice. It's not everyone, but, we are playing in a lot of playoffs. I've heard this from a lot of people that we are playing in a lot of playoffs. So that is a good thing. You're not playing in all of them, right? Be aggressive towards getting as many guys, to going through waivers each week, right? And go through the all play, they have the depth chart there in the MFL. Do all of those things, right? And it's hard. It's a pain in the butt. I remember saying to a friend early in the season, I was like, there was a week where it was like really tough. Like there was a lot of injuries and like I had gone back over and over and over and I had spent probably more time setting lineups and going through waivers than I had done at any point in my fan. And I was like, this is hard, but listen, like it pays off because like if we're doing this and like it's really hard and some of these players that we're making decisions on, no one else is, a lot of people haven't thought of. So those are just edges that are adding up, This is an example I would always say is, listen, do you want a hard test or do you want an easy test? Anyone can pass an easy test. It's hard to really get advantages on an easy test. Make it a hard test. Only a few people can get A's on that, right? When you're grading on a curve, that's what you want. This is what it is right now. So this is where we are. So keep working. Again, I would be pushing notifications in terms of Twitter, right? I would do that. If there's stuff that I could help you with, right, if, feel free to reach back out to me. I'm sorry if there's a siren going off in the background. Sorry if that's going to bother you in the audio. But if there's stuff I can help you with, if there's stuff, if pushing stuff, if sending emails would be helpful, like let me know. I can do all that stuff. I'm here to help you guys. You tell me those things and I'll help you. Especially if you are not in the GroupMe chat, especially let me know those things, because I hear from those folks quite a bit. If you are not in that, and there's stuff I can help you with, let me know. Just, I'm here to help. So, all right, that all said, let's get to some wide receiver stuff here. We went 10 minutes talking about anything but wide receivers and snap reaction. So here we go. Okay, starting first with Arizona. So Hopkins has been back the past couple weeks, so we've got a little bit of sample here in terms of the route stuff. I would say it's a three-tiered approach to the receiving usage. Would be when I would say Hopkins first. He got 39, 68 snaps. And then there's a tier break. It's Christian Kirk at 32 and 58. And then AJ Green at 36 and 56. So AJ Green comes in at second in terms of snaps. But again, him and Kirk are really close over the past 2 weeks. Last 4 weeks, AJ Green, 2.16 yards per route run with 30 targets. Per game, he's at 10.5 points per game without a touchdown. That's 17 targets, 12 catches, 194 yards, and an 8 out of 14.4, which is very close to what Hopkins is, interestingly. Kirk's actually leading in routes the past 4 weeks at 97, but has 1.19 yards per route run. So again, a full yard less per route run than Christian Kirk. Hopkins did look banged up. I know some people were commenting on that. I'm not going to he was kind of like dragging a little bit, and there was some thought that maybe he's playing a decoy. I'm not sure. You know, I continue to watch that. I mean, he's going to play is typically the way he does it. Like if he can do it, he will. So that's just a thought there. He's in your lineup. I think AJ Green's probably going to be in a lot more lineups than we would have ever expected in August. Right. And this is a classic example of when there's all timers, you bet on them until it's over. Right. And this is like the Jimmy Graham thing, right? This is the, this is like Jimmy Graham last year, or, you know, Gronkowski this year. Like, those are the bets you take. He's a good one. Julio right now is a good one. Like, and it's at such a discount cost. Again, Travis Kelce. I know I talked about Travis Kelce in the tight end show. Like, if he's a mid tight end one, it's the most smashable price of all time because there's no consequence to being wrong. There's all upside there. So you sort of get the idea. He fits in that. Role. All right, Russell Gage is averaging 15.6 points per game in the last four games for Atlanta, 33 targets during that time, 26 catches, 305 yards, a touchdown, 2.46 yards per route run. Real, real good. So definitely putting himself in the range of being in the wide receiver two or three discussion next year. I imagine if they get Ridley back, I'm sure they'll address the position. And maybe they'll do it in the draft. I don't know. They're probably going to have a high draft pick. I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm more worried about surviving tomorrow's waiver cuts than I am worried about the draft at this point. But I know that there's supposed to be some good players. We'll see there. I mean, Gage being productive next year. The reason I was pausing is there was actually a false positive coming in from Higby, literally as I was talking here. So that's good news there. And Damian Harris, by the way, as I'm sort of recording, I'm getting push notifications, as I was talking about. Damian Harris is actually a limited participant, so maybe he can give it a go in week 15. That might actually be worse for our lineups than if he sat out the week. Okay, so keep going here. Marquise Brown is fine, 10.9 points per game over the past three without a touchdown. That's sort of my reaction there from Baltimore. 0.79 yards per route run from Bateman in the prior three games. This past game, seven targets, seven receptions, 103 yards, and 2.64 yards per route run. In that same game, it was seven targets, five receptions, 41 yards for Brown. So Bateman with the big game, but that's like four times as high as his yards per route run had been. Just short of that on the season. So I'm not going to buy that. You know, 3.5, I guess, is probably three. Yeah, between 3.5 and 4 times the level. I mean, I'm being a very, very cautious, I guess would be the word I was saying. I'm playing Bateman. This seems like a one-game aberration and a trend. So be careful there. All right, Emmanuel Sanders has been banged up. Only 21 routes for him. So I think the big beneficiary is probably going to be Gabe Davis. Played 50 snaps this past week, ran 50 routes, I should say. And 8 targets, 5 receptions, 43 yards, a touchdown, 0.86 yards per route run. And again, that was only on 21 routes for Sanders. So you figured this passing game is probably going to consolidate a little bit more into Diggs, Beasley, and Davis, which is honestly what you want. I haven't seen the length of the injury on Emmanuel Sanders, but my understanding is that he's going to miss a week or two. It was sort of the initial estimate that I've seen. All right, next up here after the Bills, we are going to discuss the Chicago Bears. The Carolina Panthers. Past 3 games, 20 targets for Robbie Anderson, 27 for DJ Moore. That's a really healthy number for Moore, but I think it's a decent number for Anderson, actually, too, if you consider where we came from with just an outright disaster. 13 catches, 129, and a touchdown for Anderson, 1.33 yards per route run. That's 10.6 points per game. It's sort of my feeling on that. I guess if you have to play him, like there's a spot where I've got Emmanuel Sanders where I don't have any other options. Like I guess I'll give Anderson a shot just to show how darn good DJ Moore is. 27 targets, right, in the past 3 games. 15 catches, 237, and a touchdown. They both have 97 routes. He is at 2.44 yards per route run with PJ Walker and Cam Newton throwing the ball. Like sometimes we make a bigger deal out of situations than we need to. And sometimes it's just good players are really good. And DJ Moore is an example of that. Allen Robinson returned 6 targets, 2 receptions, 14 yards, 32 routes, 0.44 yards per route run. I would trust him maybe in the flex consideration, but I don't feel really great about it. Jamar Chase, 25. And again, Darnell Mooney is probably playing, so for what that's worth. I'm not touching on everyone. I think hitting the hot button stuff. You guys have been making these roster decisions for a while. I just think I'm pointing out some of the stuff here. I think that's important. Jamar Chase, 25 targets over the past 4 games, 16 receptions, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1.38 yards per route run. T. Higgins is hot as hot can be, 30 targets, 22 receptions, 381 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2.84 yards per route run. It's freakish right there. That's a really, really strong number. Tyler Boyd, 21 targets. So actually third in pecking order. He has more yards than Chase does at 202, 1.55 yards per route run, 0 touchdowns. So he's fitting, you know, I would say Higgins and Chase probably in like your wide receiver 2 type considerations for lineups. Boyd more in the 4 consideration would sort of be my hunch there in terms of where he's fitting at for you. Just think about this. It's 5 targets per game, just a little over that. And given all the stuff that's going on, like there's maybe worse options. So he's a name that's interesting to me. All right, Jarvis Landry is on the COVID list. I don't really have a good recommendation here. Austin Hooper looks like he's on the COVID list too. I'm going to wait a day just to make sure some of these tests are actually true tests, you know, the false positive rate. I know testing is being more common, so we will see false positives would sort of be my assumption. So continue to sort of peruse those and track that. Donald Peoples-Jones is probably the best other receiver over the past 4 games. It's 1.49 yards per route run. 0.41 for Rashad Higgins. Only 41 routes the past 2 games. So really a bit player as he's parking illegally in the streets of Cleveland. So that's sort of my angle there. All right, Dallas Cowboys, 45 routes for Amari Cooper this past week, 41 for Gallup, 37 for CeeDee Lamb. It's a 7 targets, 8 targets, and 11 targets respectively. So 7 for 5 receptions and 51 yards and a touchdown for Cooper, 8 targets for 5 catches, 60 yards for Gallup, and then 11 targets on his 37 routes for CeeDee Lamb. That is 7 catches for 61 yards. So we'll see here going forward how this alignment gets. But again, this is another one of those examples where we get all three of them back and CeeDee Lamb's playing the least. Again, maybe he actually did perform the best, but this is a ceiling capping situation, and it was something that we should be careful of. All right, since the week 11 bye for Denver, Sutton has 87 routes, Tim Patrick has 78, and Jerry Jeudy has 76. And see, this is why when you spend bad money, right, this is what happens, right? So Sutton, Patrick, and Jeudy, the order of their routes. Ready for this? 0.47 yards per route run for Sutton, 0.72 for Patrick, so a little bit better. 1.96 for Jeudy. So we're going in the exact inverse order here in terms of their efficiencies. That's all I can tell you. So I think actually Jeudy's a classic example of, and like if we have an Alexander Mattis there, we've got all these series, like Jeudy should go down as one of being like, hey, you know what? Like you can, like we can be sort of conservative with you in a, you know, we're not going to get over our skis investing in you. We've got questions about first round wide receivers in general. Listen, you actually overperform them. Like, hey, you know, you did really good. Like, you know, you're pretty efficient. Like, you take a leap from year one to year two in efficiency. Like, you're maybe even the best wide receiver on your team. And you know what? It probably doesn't matter for fantasy. And that's, like, that's the thing with wide receivers. Like, yes, you can be good, and it might not even make a difference. Right, so it is whereas I think running backs can be bad and still make a difference, right? You have to just go through more doors for a wide receiver to really get there than I think you do with running backs sometimes. And that's, you know, like, is anyone going to say that like Darrell Williams and Jonathan Taylor are similar? No, not really, but like they're I would say on a much closer range of outcomes. And we know this just because of the nature of what running back does. Like it's, you know, it's, that's why the running backs don't matter crowd has an argument, which is like, hey, just, you know, these guys can all sort of produce, like there's not a ton of variance in what happens and all that stuff where there is at wide receiver. And this is kind of like what you see with it. Where the difference between, I don't know, wide receiver, you know, one and wide receiver, you know, and whatever the comp to the difference between, you know, JT and Darrell Williams is like, it can be really tough for guys in that range that can be difference makers at running back to actually do that at wide receiver, because there's a confluence of other events that are going on. So that's just a reminder of that. All right, turning to Detroit now after that brief tangent. We've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's been really good over the past three games. 27 targets. That's a healthy clip. 22 receptions, 182 yards, and a touchdown. That is 1.72 yards per route run. Wide receiver 13 in the past 3 weeks. You're like, wow, it's actually really good. Josh Reynolds, 16 targets, 10 receptions, 191 yards. Actually more yards than Amon-Ra St. Brown on less targets. And he has that 2.05 yards per route run. He actually has a touchdown. He's wide receiver 24 in the past 3 weeks. So I think, you know, if I was going to play one of them, I think Reynolds is probably the more accessible one. If you're an AOD subscriber, I think you're more likely to have shares of Reynolds than Amon-Ra St. Brown, because Amon-Ra St. Brown, people probably paid up for him in rookie drafts where we weren't doing that sort of thing typically. So when you look at it, you know, wide receiver 13, wide receiver 24 over the past 3 weeks, hey, even bad teams can produce successful fantasy guys. This is a good example of that. All right, Green Bay, tough to trust anyone other than Devontae Adams. 1.00 yards per route run for Marquez Valdes-Scantling on 70 routes. 1.44 for Allen Lazard on 61 routes over the last two games. Just tough. I mean, I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling is this sort of high variance guy that you need, or that if you need a high variance guy, like he's as good as anyone to sort of be that guy. Jalen Guyton would be another one with the Chargers. But like, I just don't, It's hard to sort of trust that, to be totally honest with you. All right, last three games, Brandon Cooks, 22 targets, 14 receptions, 184 yards and a touchdown, 1.7 yards per route run. I remember thinking earlier on in the season that you know, maybe like in the last month, like, it's kind of heading in the wrong direction. He's been fine. So when you look at it, I think the in and out of splits on games that Tyrod Taylor has played this year. So in splits, he is good for 4.67 receptions per game, a third of a touchdown on 8.5 targets. Receiving yards, he is at 60.8. When you look at games where Tyrod has not played, so anyone else, Davis Mills, 14.03 points per game. That's actually up. It gets even more interesting, right? And this is one of the things like, hey, how's he do in versus out? Well, he's up a point. Like, not a big deal. Here, like, it is a big deal for this particular purpose. 6.43 receptions per game, right? That is up almost 2 receptions per game. That is a huge deal. Targets up almost 1. He's at 8.5 when Tyrod plays. He's at 9.4 when Tyrod doesn't. So up 0.93 is what it is. So that's 151 target pace. Like, that's a really robust pace. I mean, that is full on wide receiver 2/wide receiver 1 type production. You 100% take that. And then you look receiving yards per game, 66.7. Again, is it perfect with Davis Mills? No. But listen, like, again, if he sort of chopped that up and gave him a third of a touchdown a game, which again, that's, I'm not going to attribute the difference between 0.33 touchdowns with Tyrod and 0.14 touchdowns with Davis Mills. Like, I'm not going to attribute that to Davis Mills, right? Like, those things, that's just, if there's anything that we know, it's that those things are highly variant. So that would be one thing that I'm not super concerned about. Again, all the fundamentals are better. Again, is that, I think the key probably to this analysis would be Davis Mills is not worse for Brandon Cooks than Tyrod Taylor. And I think that's the conclusion that we could sort of confidently say. It's tough to say if he's like out and out better. We probably can say that with a ton of confidence, but he's not worse. And I think that's the key thing. So I think you can play him in the wide receiver 2 role. And again, who the hell knows? By the time this week's over, we might not necessarily have a choice. All right, the Colts in the past 4 weeks, this is trending very similar. So it's Pittman, Pascal, and Hilton in that order in the routes. Pascal much closer to Pittman, Hilton a clear-cut wide receiver 3. 1.72 yards per route run for Pittman. Again, the touchdowns are the thing that's coming back. They're like one of the best offenses, best scoring teams in the AFC, which is a surprise, honestly, given what I thought of Carson Wentz coming into this year. All right, Jacksonville over the past 4 games, Marvin Jones, Laquan Treadwell, and then Laviska Shenault in that order in terms of their routes. 145 for Marvin Jones while he's been yelling at Urban Meyer, go Marvin. 121 for Laquan Treadwell, and then 115 for Laviska Shenault. 22 targets for Marvin Jones, 22 for Laquan Treadwell, and 24 for Laviska Shenault in that time span. So the yards per route run, again, 1.2 for Marvin, 1.6 for Treadwell. All right, Kansas City, I'll make it quick. Tyreek, and then I don't trust anybody else. Renfro, then I really don't trust anyone else. He's at 0.266 yards per route run, at 2.66 yards per route run over the past 444 routes, only 77 for DeSean Jackson during that time span. So if you were thinking, hey, DeSean Jackson, like situational deep threat, like, yeah, it's almost entirely a situational deep threat type thing. So he's not really being a wide receiver too. Like, I don't trust on either of those two offenses. Like, just give me those guys. I don't trust anyone else, specifically at the receiver position. Tight ends, we could talk. Running backs, we could talk. But the wide receiver position, those two guys, and really desperation outside of that. I know Josh Gordon got on the board. It doesn't really do much for me because he hasn't done much at all. So, for what that's worth. Okay, Odell Beckham Jr. has 3 touchdowns in the past 3 games. Again, he's going on COVID. But here's an interesting thing. So it's actually Van Jefferson who's playing ahead of him. So in the past three games, Kupp is wide receiver 2 in terms of points per game. Wide receiver 16 is Van Jefferson. Wide receiver 15, Odell Beckham Jr. So the touchdowns are up. But listen, even the touchdowns being up, it's 2.02 yards per route run. Fits right between Kupp and Jefferson. That's a robust offense. That is a scary offense. I know that the analytics people, who I guess I'm one of in some way, shape, or form, have really like poo-pooed them. Like, I don't know. I kind of give the first, like, we judge teams way too quickly, especially when there's like moving, you know, coaching staffs and all that stuff. Like we, in quarterbacks, and like we judge teams way too quickly. So I think, you know, people thought, hey, it started off really well. Like it's regressed. Oh, look, like they're sort of going to the dump again. Like, I don't know. Like they kind of just laid it on Arizona on the road. All right. Jalen Guyton is helpful. 2.02 yards per route run. He's averaging 27 routes per game in the last four. He's wide receiver 25 in the past 3 weeks. At 13.6 points per game. So he's interesting. Again, if Allen's out, we'll sort of see what that whole situation is going to end up being. But if Allen is out, I think Guyton is officially interesting as a hope to ring the bell type of, you know, Justin Herbert throws the ball into the ionosphere. And that still baffles me. So just incredible, incredible throw. All right, Miami, Devontae Parker is back. 5 targets, 5 receptions, 62 yards, 32 routes, 1.94 yards per route run. So some mini efficiency there in his last game. Again, they were on a bye, so fully integrating back. We'll see there. No Will Fuller. I hope he's okay. Like, I'm not even being like melodramatic. I really do. I'm concerned about his finger, and that, you know, there was something much worse at play that they just were not privy to. I hope it's not like they're not telling us because of liability issues or something, because of like a jacked up surgery or something like that. It's just really, you know, they cut a nerve or something. I don't know. It gives me a lot of concern about what it could potentially be. And I hope it's not like career threatening. It doesn't sound like it's life threatening, but I hope it's not career threatening. All right. KJ Osborne, 17 targets, 8 receptions, 135 yards, and 2 touchdowns over the past 3 games. It's 1.44 yards per route run. We're watching the return of Thielen. I think he takes a step back. Justin Jefferson's really good. That's what you need to know. If I think you start Jefferson, you start Thielen, Osborne's sort of in your flex consideration radar. Yeah, that's kind of your situation there. Pat's coming off a bye. They had the Bills game before that. Like, I don't have a ton to update there. It's probably Kendrick Bourne's your lead guy, and Jacoby Myers. And the two of those guys, probably wide receiver 2-3 flex type consideration. But yeah, hopefully it's more 4 than 2 would be my thought. But we'll see how this week comes out. Tony 2IR, I've got little trust in anyone with the Giants for what that's worth. And I'll just move it along. I guess if Sterling Shepard were to play and, like, you know, get some consistency, I'd maybe feel better. But, you know, someone told me yesterday, I was like, hey, you're probably underweighting or undervaluing Galladay. And Galladay is going to fit into the theory of, like, who cares? In terms of, like, all right, if you're not going to make a big difference from the cost that you're at, you better have some variance that me being able to sell you in your cost when you're at him in wide receiver, or you're totally useless to me. And that's kind of the deal with Galladay at this point. So he's not even like it's a Julio situation where it's like, hey, all right, in a short sample, like, he could average 9.5 targets down, you know, in a 4-week span. Like, I don't have that feeling at all about Galladay at this point. So that's kind of just figured I'd hit that one, and it was a higher priced asset. Philly's coming off a bye. Yeah, so we sort of know what the pecking order is. I don't feel great about anyone other than probably Devontae Smith in lineups, and he's more of like a 2-3-4 type. Steelers last 4 games, 121 routes for Deontay Johnson, 90 for Claypool. Claypool's gotten benched a little bit here, so him and Tomlin are at war. I did find it interesting that some of the people that were, you know, I retweeted a tweet that I thought was interesting, that all the people that were, you know, applauding the mental health stuff are the same people that are sort of all down Chase Claypool for messing up. Like, sometimes it's just you want to be seen. It's a good example of that. Like, the kid messed up and made a mistake. Like, it didn't cost him the game. Like, give me a break. But I mean, it drives me crazy when people do it. But, like, you know, it's just the same people want to just sort of get on everyone and, you know, and just be seen. Yeah, I mean, but listen, I think Deontay Johnson, again, like, I still think he's underrated. And I'll be really interested to see sort of where he falls in line here. Brandon Ayuk, 101 routes, 22 targets, 12 receptions, 208 yards, and a touchdown in the last three games. That is north of 2 in yards per route run. Only 59 routes for Debo in the past two games. Again, he missed one via injury there. I'll say Juwan Johnson and Debo actually splitting time. Debo, on like a per game basis, is running more routes, but Juwan Johnson is actually playing much more like a wide receiver 2 than he is like a wide receiver 3 in terms of that stuff. I don't think it's all that impactful, but he's one that I think is interesting. If there's, you know, if you're playing in a shallow league and you're just about to get decimated by injuries, like, he's one that there's worse situations that you could turn to for him being a wide receiver that you could use. All right, next up here, Seattle. Lockett is just pounding on it on the efficiency in the past three games. 3.12 yards per route run, 1.17 for Metcalf. In that time span, Lockett is wide receiver 9, and Metcalf is wide receiver 68. And they have Metcalf has run one more route, 98 routes for Lockett, 99 for Metcalf during that time span. So, again, Lockett's still showing out. And this is a good example of, like, you know, we got to be really careful about, you know, about assuming just because a guy looks really, just because he looks like, you know, he should be a wide receiver 1, that you're not overweighting, you know, how he looks in that analysis. So, just for what that's worth, I call it the Billy Bean the player, you know, my Billy Bean the player theory. All right, Tampa, 1.57 yards per route run over the past 4 for Evans, 2.08 for Godwin. Godwin's just crushing it in terms of his efficiency. He's highly involved. 38 targets. I believe that's over the past 3, and then it's 20 for Evans. So really, really crushing it. Evans playing a little bit more. Of a lesser role in the offensive late. I'm still playing them both, like rolling it out there. And especially without Antonio Brown, I think you're comfortable playing everybody. So, all right, Julio, he has 5 targets, 4 receptions, 33 yards on 23 routes of his returning, 1.43 yards per route run in his return from IR. I think you feel okay about that. And this could be a situation where, like, you're going to turn to him. And I think I feel okay doing that now that he sort of gets through this thing, assuming he's healthy and all that stuff. Like, you got an initial start and say, all right, like, he's going to be their lead guy. It doesn't feel great, but he's going to be their lead guy. I think you could play him. I mean, ideally, he's probably like a wide receiver 3 type role, but that would sort of be my thought there. All right, and last but not least, DeAndre Carter is your wide receiver 3 in Washington. Adam Humphries right there too, similar in terms of route 72 and 69 over the past 3. So they're close, but yeah, I don't think either of them is particularly usable. But if you're desperate for a name, DeAndre Carter's your guy. All right, well, that'll do it for Snap Reactions. I just wanted to run down some of the things that I had in mind and as I'm sort of going through all this. So I hope that's helpful to you. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very, very soon.